Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erio's original.
Hello and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite unsolved mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. Who knows? We might even solve the case. I'm Allie Siegel.
I'm Melissa Stetton.
And that's Maria. Web Crawlers has a Patreon. To get access to rewards, bonus episodes, shoutouts, merchandise discounts, and in-studio videos of full episodes released a day early.
Wow.
Insane. Please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become one of our bimbo patrons. For merch, go to webcrawlerspod.com or
hothorse.horse
if you are nasty. Melissa, do we have Patreon shout outs?
We do. We've got Monica F.
Hi.
Jocelyn O.
Hey.
Commander 77.
What up?
Renee T.
Oh my God. Hi.
Emily N.
Hello.
Megan H.
Hi.
Scotty C.
Aloha. Melissa, let's get into it. What is our main story?
Our main story is about Hinterkaifeck.
Ooh.
It's also known as the Murder Farm.
Uh-oh.
It was a small farmstead in Germany that has become infamous as... It's become infamous as the scene of one of the most gruesome and puzzling unsolved crimes in German history.
Oh, no.
It involves a haunted farm, incest, mysterious footprints. Let's get into it.
Hell yeah, baby.
Here we go. Hinterkaifeck was built in 1863, and it's a half mile behind, or hinter.
Oh, interesting.
The town of Kaifeck, which is about an hour north of Munich.
Okay.
And on April 4th, 1922, the neighbors of the Hinterkaifeck home hadn't heard from them in a few days, and one of the girls had missed school. And also the mailman noticed that their mail had been piling up.
Uh-oh.
So some of the neighbors went to the house to investigate, and in the barn, they found four bodies covered with hay.
Oh, shit.
In the house, they found two more bodies.
Oh, God.
So the victims in the barn were Andreas Gruber, who was 63, and his wife, Kazilla, who was 72. Their daughter, Victoria, who was 35,
okay.
And Victoria's daughter, Kazilla, who was 7.
Wow, she named her daughter the same name as her
mom?
Yeah. Okay.
Inside the house was Victoria's 2-year-old son, Joseph, mm-hmm. and the maid, Maria Baumgartner. Side note, the maid was killed on her first day of work. This was her first day.
That sucks.
Yeah. And so the last maid quit because she thought the farm was haunted.
Oof.
We'll get into that a little later. So the people who found the bodies, they sent a boy on a bicycle to alert the mayor of Wangen and ask him to call the Munich police.
Okay.
Remember in the olden days, you had to
go on a bike to alert the mayor of Wangen. Now you can just take your car.
You had to call the local boy who has a bike. You, sir, go call the police. So the autopsies showed that Andreas's cheekbones were protruding from his face.
Oh, no.
Most likely from getting hit by a mattock, which is a pickaxe. And Kazilla, his wife, had a cracked skull and she was strangled.
Oh, my gosh.
Victoria's skull was smashed and she had some star-shaped wounds on her head.
Hmm.
Kazilla, Victoria's daughter, she had a shattered jaw and her face was covered in circular wounds.
Hmm.
She had clumps of her own hair in her hands and patches on her head. And this is really sad. So she most likely did not die instantly. It was in shock for a few hours.
Oh, pulling so scary.
Her own hair out. And then inside the house, Joseph, the two-year-old, was killed by a blunt force object to his face. His body was covered with one of his mother's dresses. And then the maid, Maria, was killed by blows to the head, and she was covered with her bed sheets.
So someone came into this house and killed everyone.
Mayhem.
Yeah, mayhem. The police thought it could have been vagrants, but tossed that idea out after large sums of money were still found in the house, so nothing was stolen.
Yeah.
The farm animals and pet dog were actually taken care of and fed for a few days after the family died. So the murderer stayed in the house, eating food and lighting fires. There were reports of smoke coming out of their chimney after they were killed. The cows were even milked. They talked to the former maid, who said she quit months prior because she heard footprints in the attic.
Oh, footsteps.
Yeah, I was reading. What? Muffled voices and constantly felt like she was being watched.
Watched.
I have a theory about this. In the hayloft inside the barn, they found two impressions in the hay as if someone had been sitting or sleeping there. Also, a tile was removed from the wall, leaving a tiny hole that looked directly into the house.
Yeah.
Then some strange things happened in the days leading up to the murder. Andreas found a newspaper he did not buy inside of the house. He asked the mailman where it came from, and he had no idea. They didn't have newspaper subscriptions back in those days, so you actually had to go somewhere to buy the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Andreas found scratches on the lock to his tool shed, like someone was trying to break in to open it. Footprints were found in the snow leading from the forest to the home in only one direction. No one knows who they belong to.
Yeah, they were just going to the house.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which means someone walked to the house and then never left.
Uh-huh.
One of their two house keys had disappeared. Andreas had talked to his neighbors about all these strange occurrences and asked if anything weird was happening to their homes. They all said no. Andreas said he saw a man in the woods just standing there watching his home.
The watcher.
Perhaps someone was secretly living in their house. The parasite theory. I think that's what it was. We'll talk more later.
Yeah.
Also, the new maid literally showed up hours before the murder happened. A very strange coincidence.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, the worst job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Imagine if our first day at Erios we got killed.
Yeah, that would suck.
Victoria emptied her bank account a few days before the murder. The money was in the house. A robber could easily find it.
Yeah. So the police had two suspects in mind. The first was Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Mm.
He was the neighbor that Victoria had been hooking up with in the past, and it was assumed that he was the father of Joseph, but that was never officially confirmed. But the initials...
They probably didn't have DNA testing back then.
Yeah, no. So the initials, LS, appear on Joseph's birth certificate, but that could be the initials of the doctor.
Lucifer, so Satan.
Oh, yep. So Lorenz and Victoria planned to get married until Victoria's dad, Andreas, put a stop to it.
Mm.
So Lorenz eventually married someone else. Then he and his new wife had a baby, but it died a few weeks after it was born.
Oh, no.
Also, Lorenz was the one who led the search the day the bodies were found.
Huh.
And because he lived right next door to the farm. And immediately after finding the four bodies, he started moving them and lifting them up and to look for his son.
Oh, God.
So apparently tons of people who went looking for the family trampled through the barn in the house. They were even making snacks in the kitchen, like destroying evidence. Like whole neighborhood was there just like looking for them. And what do I always say? Treat every home like a crime scene. Just trampling over everything. So then Lawrence then unlocked the front door with a key. And remember, a key had gone missing.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if he maybe had the key already. And so he entered the house alone. And when he was asked why he went in alone, he just said he was looking for his son, Joseph. So one theory is maybe that Lawrence was distraught by the death of his baby and didn't want to be financially responsible for Joseph after Victoria demanded that he pay her child support.
Huh.
So he murdered, perhaps he murdered Victoria and her whole family. And people with him during the initial investigation said his behavior was suspicious. They said he acted nonchalant, viewing and handling the bodies like it wasn't a big deal.
Weird.
He then made comments indicating knowledge of details that only the killer would know.
That's bizarre.
So the police questioned him, but they were unable to conclusively place him at the crime scene. Also, his behavior could be explained by shock.
Yeah.
And then before he ended up dying in 1941, and he ended up winning several civil claims for slander against people who described him as the murderer of Hinterkaifeck.
I always wonder, like, if I was in a stress situation like that, where if I was in, like, a murder scene, I feel like I would go into complete, like, calmness. I don't think that I would act like, oh, my God, oh, my God. I think that people would probably be like, she's acting too calm.
Yeah, that's why it's like you can never really judge someone on how they react to like trauma.
Right. Because I think like, you know, it's like fight or flight. Like, I think I think I would probably go into very like chill numbness in a situation
just walking
like that.
Like, damn, people are dead.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Someone call 911.
Yeah. Like, I think I'd be very chill.
Another suspect is Carl Gabriel. He's Victoria's husband, who had been away at the war for about 5 years.
Damn, Victoria's getting it.
Yeah. So he had reportedly been killed during the First World War. However, his body has never actually been recovered.
Huh.
So after the murders, people began to speculate if he had actually died in the war. So Victoria gave birth to Joseph illegitimately while her husband was away. And two-year-old Joseph was rumored to be either the son of Lawrence, the neighbor, or Victoria's father, Andreas.
Yucky.
Who did have an incestuous relationship that was documented in court and known in the village.
That's no bueno.
So perhaps Carl heard about Joseph being born and killed the family to seek revenge?
Yeah, maybe.
And he had reportedly changed his identity with that of a deceased comrade.
I mean, it's always shady to change your identity.
It really is. So after the end of the Second World War, captives from the Schrobenhausen region claimed that they had been sent home by a Bavarian-speaking Soviet officer who claimed to be the murderer of Hinterkaifeck. So whether Carl lived through World War One is not known.
Interesting.
So let's talk about this incest stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So 7 years before the murder in 1915, Andreas and Victoria were convicted of incest.
So was this like consensual incest?
I don't know. Victoria served 1 month in jail and Andreas served 1 year. So if that was 1915, how old would they be? Because Victoria was...
Are you kidding me? Like, I
35.
Don't do math at me.
Well, Victoria was 35 when she died. And then this was 7 years. So she was 28.
I believe you.
Yeah, I'll take that.
So, yeah. So a theory is that Joseph was actually the child of Victoria and her own father, Andreas. And that one of them in the family had killed the entire family before killing themselves.
Possible.
Because supposedly Andreas had other children with Kazilla besides Victoria, but she was the only one to survive his abuse because he was known in the village as not a great dude, like very abusive.
Oh, God.
So,
I mean, he probably had a lot of enemies.
Yeah.
Shortly after the murder, the skulls were removed from the bodies and sent to Munich for more examination. And clairvoyants even looked at the skulls to find metaphysical clues. In 1923, the farm was demolished and the family was buried without their heads in a plot in Weidhofen. The skulls were lost during the chaos of World War II. There are some more suspects. The Gump brothers. Adolf Gump was interviewed in connection with the murders because it had been rumored he was in a relationship with Victoria. However, no evidence was ever found to prove this claim. Adolf's brother, Anton Gump, was also interviewed. In 1951, the sister of the Gumps, Crescentia Meyer, claimed on her deathbed that her brothers Adolf and Anton had committed the murders. As a result, Anton Gump was brought into police custody, but Adolf had already died in 1944. After a short time, Anton was dismissed again, and in 1954, the case against him was finally discontinued because he could not be proven to have participated in the crime.
Yeah, strange.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Victoria was a prostitute.
Oh.
Because she seemed to be fornicating. No judgment.
Right.
With a lot of people. I'm wondering if that was her job and somehow, like, the mom found out or someone found out or, like, maybe she was forced into prostitution by her dad.
Oh.
Victoria got so upset that she killed her entire family and then killed herself. Or maybe she was killed in the act of trying to, maybe it was just finally down to her and her dad and then. I don't know. Okay. Carl S. and Andreas S. In 1971, a woman named Therese T. wrote a letter about an event that happened when she was a child. At the age of 12, she witnessed her mother receiving a visit from the mother of the brothers Carl and Andreas S. The woman claimed her sons were the two murderers of Hinter Kaifek. The mother said, Andreas regretted that he lost his penknife in the course of the conversation. In fact, when the farm was demolished in 1923, a pocket knife was found that could not be clearly assigned to anyone. However, the knife could have easily belonged to one of the murder victims. Crescens Reiger, the former maid of Hinter Kaifek, was certain she had already seen the penknife in the yard during her service.
Yeah.
Then there's also Peter Weber.
Wait, isn't Peter Weber the name of the current bachelor?
I don't watch.
Yeah. It is.
Peter Weber?
I think so.
That's shady. Maybe he's immortal.
Yeah, cool. That's his name.
That would be awesome.
What is his lineage? Is he German?
His mom's Cuban. And then his dad is,
we don't know.
German.
Oh, yeah. His father is German.
What?
His mother's Cuban.
Wow. Okay. Well,
related.
We're going to have to look into that. Peter Weber.
Wait.
What? Oh, no. What? Peter, he's from the Bahamas. Peter Weber was named a suspect by his work buddy, Joseph Betts. According to Joseph, Peter talked about a remote farm he used to work on called Hinter Kaifek. Peter knew that only one old couple lived there with their daughter and her two children. It's likely he knew about the incest between Andreas and his daughter. Joseph testified that Peter had suggested killing the old man to get the family's money. When Joseph told him he wasn't about that life, Peter stopped talking about it. None of the money was taken, though, so I don't think it's Peter.
Yeah. So that kind of rules him out.
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Beichler Brothers and George Siegel. Okay, let's remember George. Okay. The former maid, Kresins Reiger, worked from November 1920 to about September 1921 on Hinterkaifeck. She suspected the brothers Anton and Carl Beichler to have committed the murders. Anton had helped with the potato harvest. Oh my God, potatoes. On Hinterkaifeck and knew the premises. The maid said Carl talked to her often about the Gruber family. Anton reportedly suggested that the family ought to be dead.
Ooh.
The maid also said in her interrogation that the farm dog who barked at everyone never barked at Anton. She reported speaking with a stranger through the window at night. The maid believed that it was Carl Beichler, the brother of Anton. She thought that Anton and Carl Beichler could have committed the murders together with George Siegel, not related to me, the farmhand who had worked at Hinterkaifeck and knew of the family fortune. Supposedly, Siegel had broken into the home in November 1920 and had stolen a number of items, though he denied it. He did state that he had carved the handle of the murder weapon when he was working at Hinterkaifeck and knew that the tool would have been kept in the barn passage.
So he's the one who basically made this pickaxe or whatever that everyone was killed with.
Also, I would probably like to say that George Siegel is probably Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And that all the rest of these people are probably not.
Oh, interesting.
Just keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind. Okay, so there's the Thaler brothers. The brothers had already committed several burglaries in the area before the crime, and the maid said that Joseph Thaler stood at her window at night and asked her questions about the family, but she gave no answer. Who are these people that are speaking to the maid at night through windows? What is she?
Something is up with this family.
It's so weird. So in conversation, Joseph Thaler claimed to know which family member was sleeping in which room and stated that they had a lot of money. And during the conversation, the maid noted that there was another person nearby. But according to the statement, Joseph Thaler and the stranger looked at the machine house and turned their eyes upwards. Whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. Author Bill James, in his book, The Man from the Train, alleged that Paul Mueller may have been responsible for the murders. So the murders bear some similarities to his crimes in the United States, including the slaughter of an entire family in their home, use of a blunt edge of a farm tool as a weapon, and the apparent absence of robbery as a motive. So the author suspected that Mueller, who was a German immigrant, might have departed the U.S. for his homeland after private investigators and journalists began to notice and publicize patterns in family murders across the state lines following the 1912 murder of two families in Colorado Springs. They thought that this, like, murderer guy went back overseas because it was just very similar to his murders. So that's one of the suspects. They interviewed people until, like, 1986, and no one's ever been charged. But these students examined the case again in 2007. They were at the Polizeifachhochschule.
Sounds right.
The police academy in Fürstenfeldbruck. They examined the case using modern criminal investigation techniques. And they concluded that it is impossible to definitively solve the crime after so much time has passed. And the primitive investigation techniques available at the time of the murders yielded little evidence. And in the decades since the murders, evidence has been lost and suspects have died. And despite these suspects, the students did establish a prime suspect, but they did not name the suspect out of respect for its still living relatives. So these students are like, we know who it is, but we're not going to say.
Interesting.
I think it might be Lawrence.
Yeah, maybe.
And then less than a year after the murders and after the murder investigation, the farm is completely demolished. And since then, the farm has been empty. There's a memorial shrine. And today, the former land is an open agricultural area.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So we have some theories.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that this, okay, I think that George, okay. So the first maid was hearing footsteps in, yes, in what, like the attic? Okay. So 1920 is when the Nazi party started being formed. So although like Hitler hadn't risen to power yet, but obviously that there was some problems between the Germans and the Jews.
Yes.
Were beginning. So probably some Jews had to start going into hiding, or they were feeling some pressure in, you know, their wherever they were living. So I think that since this farmhouse was kind of like obscure and remote, I think that George Siegel was probably Jewish, knew that he was working the farmhand at this like kind of remote farm hideaway. Maybe he had family or friends who were Jewish who were feeling pressure wherever they were living in like the main community, said, "Hey, I have a place where you could live or hide out if you need to."
Yes.
He brought his family or whoever to live in the attic or perhaps the barn of this house.
Yeah.
Then perhaps the family found out there was some sort of fight between George Siegel and the Jews that he was hiding in the house, and this family, the George Siegel and these people ended up killing the family who lived there. And then George Siegel and the family ended up staying there for a few days after.
Oh, that would
because
explain
they said
the,
they were like eating the food, the animals were taken care of, smoke was taking, like smoke was in the chimney and whatever. And then they ended up leaving. And they didn't, I mean, they probably would have taken the money, but they didn't. Maybe they felt bad about that or whatever. Or maybe George was like, "I'll give it to you in a few days" or something. I don't know. Or maybe they kept them, or maybe George was going to keep the money and the family was, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's one possibility that I think. Another one for the Nazis is the Nazis saw the farm as an obscure remote hideaway and the Nazis wanted to take it.
Yeah.
So here, there's no Jews in the picture.
No.
I'm Jewish, by the way, in case anyone has a problem. So I've had a bar mitzvah. So similar rural Nazi hideouts had been discovered all over Germany, many in Bavaria. So sometimes Nazis would like storm a house, kill the people there, and then just take it over.
Yeah.
So maybe the Nazis just came, stormed the house, and took it for themselves.
Yeah.
So that's another option.
And then they stayed to eat the food and take care of the animals because they plan to take over the farm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right.
Which would make sense.
But then maybe they didn't end up staying there because the neighbors got suspicious or something, or they decided to go somewhere else.
Another thing to this whole Nazi thing is that the Bavarian residents were traditionally conservative. And this thing called the Anif Declaration of 1918, which ended the Bavarian monarchy, it led to a period of constitutional instability, and then a lot of extremist groups were moving into Bavaria.
Interesting.
And so Andreas was rumored to be a Nazi sympathizer. Because he was outspoken, which made him stand out in this small town he was in of more liberal voters. And so in 1922, the year they were killed, an election was scheduled. So perhaps the family was murdered to thwart the growth of extremism in the region, to make sure all the votes went to the liberal candidates.
Well, if they're pro-Nazi, then no offense, good.
Yeah. And so Adolf Gump...
This is an anti-Nazi podcast.
Always has been, always will
always
be.
Always will be.
Always has, always will. Adolf Gump, who we mentioned earlier, who may have had a relationship with Victoria, he had political connections with the Free Corps Oberland, which was a group to root out communists. A lot of their members, including Adolf, began switching their attention to the Nazis. Because remember, his sister said on her deathbed, Adolf was the one who was killing Nazis.
Right.
And if he suspected Andreas and the family of being a Nazi, maybe he killed them.
That's cool that with a name like Adolf that you're also a Nazi killer.
I have an uncle, Adolf.
You do?
Great, great uncle.
That's crazy,
Melissa.
He lives
in Germany. Eh, my family's German. They were not Nazis, though.
That's Are you sure? Wild.
Oh, I'm sure.
You've gone down the path.
I've gone down the path.
That's wild.
They helped out the Jews.
That's great.
Oh, that's nice, Melissa.
Yeah. That's great, Melissa.
Yeah, you know.
What did they do?
They just helped them, gave them food and stuff.
That's so nice.
My great, great grandpa was killed by Nazis. He was pushed into a river or a lake.
Oh my god.
Nobody really knows what happened. He was just pushed into, and people suspected it was Nazis.
Holy shit.
Oh my god. That's
crazy.
Where in Germany was your family?
They were mostly in Frankfurt.
Wow.
Around the Frankfurt and Wiesbaden. Yes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
The Stettens? The Stettens.
Stetten.
Yeah.
What does Stetten mean? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Seagull means boat builder.
Oh.
It does?
Yeah.
So where's your family from?
We are from Russia or Poland. I don't know.
And but on the water. So yeah, you were building those boats.
I guess so.
Did they like kielbasses in und sauerkraut? So good.
Isn't this nice? A Nazi,
yeah,
and a
Nazi and a Jew just getting shaking hands.
Guten Abend, Ali. We get es Ihnen. That means how are you? Ich bin nicht gut.
Oh my god, how many languages do you speak,
Melissa?
Melissa,
you're scaring us now.
Melissa, das ist Hilda.
Oh my god, I don't like it.
I'm Hilda. I love sauerkraut und Braunschweiger.
No, Melissa.
So good.
God. Oh my god.
Oh boy. So in after World War I, hundreds of politicians were murdered in Germany. So by 1922, the year of these murders, there was over 300 government members had been murdered, which was basically the start of the Nazi Party. It's possible that he was murdered.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is a stupid question.
No question. It's a stupid question.
This is stupid.
Okay.
World War One was with Germany. World War Two was with Russia.
Allie, no. Allie, come on.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean, World War II? Do you mean Germany wasn't in World War II? Allie, what do you mean? Does she think Germany wasn't in World War II?
Germany is World War II.
Yeah, Allie. Russia's in World War II, but... Okay, wait a minute. Do you think World War I is when, like, concentration camps were and stuff? Yes. And then what year did you think that was?
This is not a history podcast. I don't know.
There's
when
so
was
so many. What's going through your mind? I need to know.
Let's hear it.
Okay,
Allie, there's World War II was when the Nazis were, and that was like 30s, 40s.
Then what's World War One?
World War One is like what 1917 is about. That movie that's out right now.
I haven't seen it. Is it the Cold War?
Okay, no.
World War One was like 1914. It ended in 1920,
1918 or 1920 or something like that. And it was
in Europe.
And America went to that one as well.
What was it about?
I'm not sure what it was
having
about.
Power?
It was someone invading something.
Someone trying to take over something.
I think it was Germany again trying to take over.
Probably. Yeah, that's why, because they were still mad, and that's why World War II happened.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so
that's what I thought.
So then, and then there's the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the Cold War, or then the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
That's all I can do here. I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but...
Okay, so then there's also another potential theory is Joseph Bartol,
mm-hmm.
who escaped from a hospital in 1921 when he was being treated for mental illness, and he was in the area during the murders.
Yeah, he could have just murdered them.
He could have done that.
He could
have done that.
Oh, there was a stalker scene in the woods.
What? Tell me more.
So it could have been Victoria's first husband, Carl. Maybe he came back from World War One, faked his death. Saw that Victoria like had this other kid and was like, what the fuck, she's fucking around on me.
Oh shit.
And then murdered the whole family.
It's like how Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend faked his death and then resurfaced on the beaches of Mexico 10 years later.
Oh yeah.
It's the same exact thing. Wow.
But the most likely suspect, I think, is Lauren's.
I think
neighbor.
So too. Yeah.
That's kind of like everyone online is kind of like, yeah, it's probably him.
Really? The Reddit threads are just going nuts over Lauren's? All right. Well, I mean, usually we have the same opinion as what's going on Reddit. So I think maybe it's Lawrence.
Yeah, because he could have been upset. Because it's weird. He didn't claim that Joseph was his son until after the murders happened.
Oh, that's weird.
Which is odd. And it's rumored that he's the one who actually alerted the police about the incest.
Oh, so maybe
it's happening.
Wow. So maybe he got full of rage and
Okay. And he didn't want to pay child support because he knew that the son was like was from Andreas and Victoria.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not paying child support because that's an incest baby.
Yeah. And you know how that goes.
And he does not like paying for incest babies.
No.
So it might have been him. And then maybe he planned to take over the farm because he was like, well, Joseph's my son and maybe I'm going to get all this insurance or something.
Yeah. And then also maybe like since the farm was so remote, they were like, no one will know that there is a murder. And especially if no one likes this family, they're like, no one will know. No one will care.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. Hinterkaifeck. I could teach everyone some German.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Guten Morgen. It's good morning. Good morning. Guten Tag.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Guten Abend means good evening.
Oh. So there's also something called the Hong'an murders, which is the Chinese Hinterkaifeck murders.
What?
Yes. And it remains unsolved since 2007.
2007 it happened.
Yeah, recently. This is from Unsolved Mysteries Reddit, posted by DQ689. He or she says, this case is a bit lesser known, but I would like to share with you all as well. The Hong'an murders, which I would like to call the Chinese Hinterkaifeck, occurred the night of December 26, 2007 in Hong'an County, Hubei Province in China. Wang Shishu, a lime factory owner, together with his four family members and three workers, were killed by an unknown killer. The victims aged from 9 to 60 years old. About a month before the murders, Mr. Wang's $15,000 were stolen. He reported it to the police. So the police estimated that robbery may have been the motive for the murders. Also, according to some forensic analysis, the authorities suspected that the perpetrators may have worked in Mr. Wang's factory before, and they may have known each other in the past. However, since then, nobody has ever been convicted of this murder.
Huh.
It seems that Hong'an murder did not generate much attention from China compared to Hinterkaifeck murders in Germany.
It's just because it's a family murder that was never solved.
Wait a second.
What?
Anyone have anything interesting? Oh, never mind. It says, anyone have anything interesting and creepy, the likes of Hinterkaifeck or Lisa Lam? I thought that they were comparing.
Oh.
I thought there was a correlation between Hinterkaifeck or Lisa Lam, and I was going to flip my fucking lid.
Huh. Well, we all know China has been known for underreporting deaths and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the coronavirus.
Yeah, what That's do we right. all think about that?
I think we're all going to die.
It's,
I mean, there's only, what, two cases in California?
Yeah, they just found the first transmitted disease, though, from person to person here in the States, though. Because everything else they found has been when people came
from
over.
Wuhan.
Oh, shit. So,
go person to person.
So we're getting into, like, Gwyneth is in America now.
Fuck, and now she's passing it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched Contagion 3 times.
Contagion's a crazy movie.
It's so good, though. Are
I
you
love
serious?
It. I don't know.
You're being
I
love crazy.
It. I don't know if
that
I like
powerful
it.
Cast. Marion
no,
Cotillard,
it's
Matt
powerful.
Damon, Gwyneth, Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet is it? Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah she doesn't have a great time.
She doesn't have a good time.
That's like my worst nightmare. Is like, but then again, why would she have stayed in that motel room? Like,
yeah,
you should be in a bubble.
Crazy. Oh my God. Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
I love all sort of like pandemic movies.
I got to watch Outbreak again.
Remember Outbreak? I'm going to watch that tonight.
Remember, and he has a hole in his suit and then that saves his, and
no.
It's like, but they save his life because whoever says you've got a hole in your suit.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne, Jude Law.
Steven Soderbergh directed Contagion.
Duh. The yellow tint didn't tip you off.
Wow. Dimitri Martin is in Contagion.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he plays one of the doctors.
He plays
so
the
funny.
Germ.
Maria.
What? No, I'm just saying.
Elliot Gould.
Wow.
What's wrong with playing a germ?
Matt Damon in Contagion.
I already said Matt.
Yeah,
okay.
Damon, duh.
Yeah, duh for Damon.
Does for Damon.
Does for Damon. Well, anyway.
Anyway,
if you have any ideas about this Hinterkaifeck,
Or if you have the coronavirus.
Or if you have the coronavirus or know someone who has it or have any ideas on how to fight it.
You guys still doing your Patreon thing where if they give a certain amount, they give you the topic to do?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea. How much... Sorry. How much do they have to give to do that?
$30. Yeah. But honestly...
We've done a couple.
Yeah, I know. They're good ones.
The was the Bridgewater suggestion?
I think Bridgewater, it was. Triangle.
Yeah. With the mochi cheese.
Yes.
The
Bakwashi.
Oh, no.
Poppy,
hi, I'm a puckwudgie.
Oh, what?
You know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
I'm a puckwudgie.
Okay, so if you want to contact us, we're on the puckwudgie.
That's not a puckwudgie. That's like a Yeti.
I'm a Yeti. What if a Yeti had just like a nerdy voice?
I'm a Yeti. So what? I'm a Yeti, you guys. Get a life, loser. It's
just like a teenager. Whatever.
Yeah, shut up. Meth is cool.
Melissa.
Yeah?
Where can people contact us?
You mean Hilda? Das ist Hilda. Ich bin nicht gut.
No.
I'm from Deutschland.
Hilda from Deutschland. Where can people contact Melissa and Allie?
On the internet. webcrawlerspod@gmail.com. Email us some stuff. And on Reddit and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at webcrawlerspod.
Maria the Puckwudgie, do you have any final words?
I think it's very nice.
Das ist gut.
So what? Get a life. I'm a Yeti, you guys.
Oh.
Yeah, so what? I wear glasses. So what? Get a life, losers.
I'm gonna die. Okay. I'm Allie Siegel.
I'm Das ist Hilda.
So what?
Bye. Bye.
Oh boy. What an episode. God.
An Erios original.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.